Welcome to the podcast entitled The Pups Are Here. I thought I'd take this opportunity to discuss a little bit about our pup management program. And this is definitely earlier than we have experienced before. In 26 years of wolf care, I have not had a litter of pups born this early. In 1986, I dealt with a litter born on April 24th, 89, another April 24th birth. In the 1993 litter, they were born on April 27th. The 2000 litter of Shadow Malik were born in May 8th. Grizzer, Maya, and Nisa were born May 5th into about May 11th. And then Aiden and Nellie in 2008 were born on April 27th. So when we went to planning, we planned accordingly. And that's why you might see on the website, pups are coming in late April. That was our best estimation. Well, this winter has been nothing but surprises. So that means 63 days prior to this time, there was a breeding going on. And 63 days is the gestation period for wolves. So who knows what this winter created. Again, it's been warm. It's been unusual. It's certainly been something that we've all been talking about. And now we're experiencing the outcomes of this bizarre winter with pups that are born a little bit early. So basically what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the pup selection process, and then as we go through how we socialize these pups. So this podcast hopefully gives you a little bit about a background information. I want to also let you know that there will be information on our website, frequently asked questions, there'll be timelines on pup development, and we will plan to post every day of the pup development. We'll probably start this next week, Monday. That'll be on our wolf vlog. So we'll post a photo, we'll post an update of the pup information, and we'll probably put about a 30-second video clip on that posting. Once a week, we'll continue a YouTube, which will include all of our wolves, including adults, retirees, Grizzer, the exhibit pack, and the pups. So hopefully this will help answer any questions and keep you posted on what's going on with the newest addition to the exhibit pack. As we've said before, the International Wolf Center is not a breeding facility. All of our wolves are spayed and neutered, and that means if we were to acquire new pups to add to the exhibit, which we do on a rotational period of every 4 years, we would need to locate pups from another USDA licensed facility. So we did receive a call from a facility that we've worked with in the past. We chose a facility that we had previous experience with and that had actually provided us Grizzer and Maya. And again, we always choose federal USDA licensed facilities to ensure that the provider meets the standards of veterinary care, which is very critical to us. That includes all vaccinations as required by the USDA, because the health of our pups are going to be determined by the amount of antibodies that they get from the nursing mother through the colostrum. And so if there's not a good veterinary record, we are compromising, again, the pup's health. And so we always make sure that, you know, and that's part of the USDA standards, that veterinary care is done. They've successfully passed USDA spot inspections, and they conform to the animal care practices that we like to see for good, healthy pups. And again, we know from previous history with Grizzer and Maya that they have really good conformation. We were looking for a male pup and a female pup. We wanted a female pup back on the exhibit pack because of the educational opportunities that pair bonding with even spayed and neutered animals gives to the exhibit. We, from previous research and from previous discussions with other educational and wolf care centers, had decided not to have two females. And that goes way back to 2005 with the NISA report that many facilities said female-to-female aggression is very difficult, even with spayed and neutered animals, to control in captivity. So we knew that we wanted a male and a female. Got the call, didn't know what the sexes were until we actually drove to the facility. And when we got there, we discovered a black color phase. That was something else that we were looking for. We have not had a black color phase on exhibit since 2005. And the black color phase is something that, while rare, does occur in northern Minnesota. And so we wanted to, again, maximize our educational opportunities. So when we arrived, the two females, two black color phases in one litter, were females. We definitely discussed that in length and said, you know, we just really would rather have a male pup. We had a choice of only one male pup that was born at the facility, And he happened to be about 10 days older. So we discussed what are the drawbacks between two different ages. And one thing about wolf pups is they do grow very quickly. And so we experienced that in 2004 with Grizzer being older than Nisa, and they managed pretty well. The other thing that we usually like to do is to try to have pups that are the same litter mates. Obviously, genetics was important to us, but this wasn't obviously occurring. These are two different pups, two different litters. But we, after discussions and analyzing the situation, do feel that that's more critical within the genders, meaning female to female, it's better that they're probably sisters. Male to male, it's better that they're brothers. But really, a male and a female pup that are not genetically related may not be as much of a problem. So we did choose two pups, very robust pups. And one was a male. And again, he was about 21 days of age when we picked him. And the other one was a female, and she was about 12 days of age. So again, the purpose of this pup introduction is to bring new life into the exhibit pack at the center's interpretive center facility here in Ely. We do this every 4 years. And the procedure is that the pups are socialized to humans and immersed in human contact. Once they come to the Ely facility, they receive 24-hour day care, getting visits to and from against the fence line with their future pack mates, Aiden and Denali, but essentially immersing them in human contact to be able to allow them to acclimate and socialize to the sights and sounds of an exhibit that has a public viewing, so that when they are viewed by the public, they are as stress-free as possible. When we do veterinary care, that it's a very easy process for them, that their life, they were born in captivity, they will remain in captivity their entire life, is as calm and as stress-free as possible. And that's really what the socialization part is all about. A little bit of background information on the pups. As much as we know, we believe that the pups represent the Nubilis subspecies, which is found in the geographic region of the Great Lakes states here in Minnesota. The other details that we typically look at is, again, some of the questions people ask, why two? Why not one? Why not four? Well, two is a nice manageable number. One pup, and I always think back to a talk I heard from Rolf Peterson several years ago in Isle Royale that said he watched one pup, the adults, and it seemed like that pup, every time it tried to play and just be a puppy, there was nobody really to socially engage, and oftentimes the adults would just kind of put an end to it. So pups socially engage with each other. They wrestle, they, you know, roll around, they chase each other, they pounce on each other. They socially engage, and while the adults may do that for a short period of time, typically the adults won't engage in that kind of behavior. So having a pack mate as a pup is, I think, very important to the development of a social engaging behavior. The second reason, why not do four? Well, we manage our wolves through their entire lives. So that means into retirement and, you know, into a situation where, you know, they are allowed to decline and to age within their own time frames, however they're physiologically, you know, handling life. That means that we have space issues. If you start getting four or six or eight wolves in the exhibit pack, you may see dynamics intensify where animals may be brought out because of behavioral reasons much younger than they would normally be brought out with the limited facilities that we have here because of our management of retired wolves. We don't really have places to manage younger wolves who, again, maybe because of large numbers in the pack, get into a little bit of strife. So we want to manage a nice, manageable pack that's not overusing the resource, that's not having a high concentration that might cause some redirected aggression. So that's why we only do two. And again, we rotate them every 4 years because the hope is that when the pups coming in will be 4 years of age, that's when the next litter will occur. And what we believe is that the older wolves, who would then be eight, so in other words, Aiden and Denali are going to mature to eight, these two new pups are going to be 4 years of age. As the new pups come in, rather than those pups maturing and focusing on the eight-year-olds, they've got kind of a buffer of four-year-olds in between that will help, you know, maybe moderate a little bit of that youthful exuberance that may be harder and testing of older animals. So that's why we went to a four-year rotation. We raise the pups right here with Wolf Care staff, especially in these first couple of weeks when we want to maximize the critical bond of Wolf Care staff. And then we bring in pup care participants who have been hand-selected based on their previous experience with rearing our pups or in a planning for pups program that is always offered the summer before the pups arrive. So that's very, very important. And we also include our veterinarians here in the socialization process, with not only coming in for exams, but in spending time socializing with the pups. We feed the pups an Espalac formula initially during this transition period, but at this point the male pup is already eating a mix that is supposed to mimic the mother's regurgitated food. It's soft, it's ground. The only difference is that the food combination we have here is not just deer or not just beaver. We are using a little bit of chicken and beef in addition to venison and eventually beaver. That's ground up, mixed with an Espalac, which is a milk replacement formula for canids. And that is like a gruel formula, and they're eating that several times a day. The female pup's a little bit smaller. We're still trying to keep her on the bottle, nursing a little bit. More of psychological than physical, meaning she's very close to lapping the bowl, but we want her to have that kind of comfort of nursing and suckling on the bottle yet. The male was a little bit older, and we're letting him have the bottle, but he's preferring to chew on it rather than suckle on it. So we do give him Espalac so he has that nutrients, but he is lapping water from a bowl at this time. So a lot of people ask, when can we first see the pups? Well, we keep the pups pretty protected. You know, right now we're at a little bit of a high risk for parvovirus. Parvovirus, which is an airborne virus that can be spread on the bottom of people's shoes. Somebody steps in dog scat that has parvo or has had a recent parvo vaccination, they can actually transfer it. The Working for Wolves crew that was just here last weekend sterilized this lab so that we know that we're parvo-free, or we believe we're parvo-free. We ask people to bleach their shoes when they're coming in and out of the lab, and we're trying to keep, we want to maximize socialization, but we also want to protect the pups from any disease transfer. So we're just being very selective on who's interacting with the pups. We will feature the pups at a public event in the Twin Cities on May 19th and 20th, and you want to watch that on the website. The pups will be engaged in daily programs at the center starting on Memorial Day weekend. So there'll be some special programs for local Ely community members, educational high schools and elementary schools, etc. in the area. And then I believe Friday will be the first public viewing. Friday, Memorial Day weekend, will be the first public viewing. So we'll have 3 to 4 programs a day where the pups come in for a portion of the educational program. And we also have behind-the-scenes opportunities for people to come and participate in a kind of a backyard tour of the Wolf Lab, sitting at some bleachers and kind of watching as we work and engage with the wolves. So those are opportunities to see them. And again, our website always has good information on our program schedule for times and things. And a lot of people ask, why don't you just take one from the wild? Why, you know, take one from captivity? First of all, it's illegal to take wolves from the wild. The other thing is, in our experience, it is very critical, if we're going to reduce the flight distance of wolf pups, that we work with them in the early critical bonding period. Research has shown from some of our fellow captive facilities that if we do not handle a pup by 21 days, that its fearful behavior or its flight distance is always going to be high, meaning as soon as people come, they're going to retreat the other way. And again, our job here at the Wolf Center is to educate about wolves. And one of our methods to meeting our mission is through captive wolves. And it's always been our philosophy to try to reduce the stress of those wolves who were born in captivity, who are always going to stay in captivity because there is no release program for the Nubilis subspecies. As a matter of fact, there's many, many discussions going on with how to manage the wild population, including hunting seasons. And so there's not a release program for this subspecies. There's nowhere for them to go. So when they're born in captivity, they stay in captivity. So that's our job. And that's why we choose captive facilities. Again, it is illegal to take them from the wild. And it is also too late for us to accomplish our socialization mission. So what's involved in this whole socialization process? Lots and lots of time. Time and patience are the number, the two things that you need. Socializing wolf pups. Again, we will be with these pups 24 hours a day, including wolf care staff, other center staff, pup care participants, students at the local community college, at Vermilion Community College, are going to come and assist as part of their wolf research practicum. And we are not only feeding them and cleaning up after them, but we're trying to do the types of things that are necessary for those pups throughout their lives. That means ears. Later on, we know every adult wolf has got a fly ointment problem or has fly problems where we need to have ointment. So if you want to deal with wolves as adults, you need to introduce activities as pups. So stroking their ears, cleaning their ears, going in and massaging their gums, like as you've been, if you've been following our wolf care program, you know, we've had two tooth extractions in the last 2 years. Malik had one, and then Grizzer had one. Well, the only way we know we have dental issues is if those wolves let us look in their mouth and let us be able to investigate their teeth. The only way that adult wolf will let you do that is if you spend hours and hours and hours stroking their gums and getting them comfortable with us working with their teeth when they're young. So that's important. Working between their toes, you know, getting in the wintertime, they have ice balls, so we have to pick off ice chunks out of their toes. Those are things that we do. And so ears, toes, and I forgot what the other one was. Anyways, you get the point. You know, anything that we think adults need, we will do with puppies. That includes loud noises. We'll start when they get a little bit older. We'll run a chainsaw next to them, try to calm them down from the noise, get them used to it, because we run chainsaws around them. So we don't want to, every time we fire up a chainsaw to take down a tree that fell down, stress out the wolves. So we, in the socialization process, introduce them to chainsaws, to water hoses, to just about anything that you can imagine that will be around an adult wolf. So is that difficult? Yes. Wolf pups are not dogs. A dog is instinctually accepting of humans. Wolves are instinctually skittish of humans. And anything new, any changes in their environment, they're vulnerable to a variety of things that a dog would just not think twice about. So we have included a dog, and that's Oscar. And you can see footage of Oscar in the YouTubes. And the reason why we've included a dog is that the puppies are going to be tractable to another canid. That's their human. That's their nature, to be tractable to other canids. So when we use a dog who theoretically is domesticated, although if you watch Oscar, we question that. No, he's really a dog, but he's not always proven to be domesticated. But basically with Oscar, he doesn't get riled about things. You know, he's a dog. He's socialized and he's inherently accepting of humans and the human life. So when Oscar doesn't respond, that calms the puppies down. Even if the puppies show a little bit of excitement, it calms them down by having their canid in their life, what they're living with and viewing, showing such relaxed postures. We've seen it work already with the male pup. He's a little bit skittish, and as a matter of fact, we've nicknamed the male pup Bolts because he's figured out the fastest way to get out of the enclosure. We're working on that. We've nicknamed the female pup Peanuts, so now we actually have Nuts and Bolts here. That's just a temporary name. We do have a name, the pup contest, as I've mentioned earlier, but the reality is the dog is a way to help the wolves gain some confidence around very human things. And so that's kind of what we do. Oscar is not going in with them as adults. He will merely serve as the surrogate canid for the pup process. Once they go in with the adult wolves, they do not come back out. Oscar does not go in. So that's kind of the process. Now, is there any risk to pups? There always is risk to pups. Ramifications or risks that we might face, Aiden and Denali may reject them. If they are too big, they may not view them as puppies and more as competitors because they've gotten too large in size. One of the things we had to do once we knew about this pup introduction, we had to change the behavioral team. We had originally identified the behavioral team to be August 6th, and we have not yet notified team members of that yet, but we're going to have to back that up a bit. We have to make sure that these puppies do not reach a size greater than 40 to 45 pounds, or you're going to put in a puppy that looks like an adult in with other adult wolves, and they may not be as tolerant of that. They might be more competitive versus more nurturing. We've had a lot of experience with this. We've had a lot of experience with adult wolves being very strong nurturers, but we know from other facilities that have talked to us about just be very cautious about how late you run that introduction. So we feel that we're going to be in a pretty good time frame in the end of July. Prolactin hormone, which is a natural nurturing hormone, should still be present in those adult wolves, but it does start to wane in August. So we want to make sure that that's something that we do. And so that's kind of where the process is. We hope to, again, have as much information as possible. You can stay tuned on the Pup Progress on the Wolf Center's website. Wolf logs, we will post, and again, I always have to qualify, if there's no other higher priorities that relate to animals, we will post every day. But please understand, if there's an issue and an animal needs us, that will always be our first priority. But our goal is, starting next Monday, to post a short little narrative and a photo and a short little video clip of each pup on our website. We'll continue to post the adult wolves once a week, and we'll continue to do a YouTube of both also weekly. So hopefully you will see that. We get weights every morning. We monitor weights the morning shifts because that's our judge of how the pups are doing. They should always be gaining. They can remain, you know, a little bit stable where they didn't gain on 1 or 2 days, but they should never lose. So we will always be monitoring that weight gain, and you will see how fast these wolf puppies grow. So that's about it, and I think, again, just keep watching the website. I will hope to get more podcasts done in the near future. We know for sure we'll do one at the introduction. We'll probably do another podcast here midway, maybe by July's team when the pups get transitioned outside and spending more time in the wolf yard. But for right now, I hear puppies stirring. I'm on a night shift, which is why my voice sounds the way it does. And I am doing pup care right now, so I'm going to sign off and hope that you get a chance to check us out on the website. And again, thanks for listening.